Amen. We thank you, God, for this opportunity of getting us to come here before you, Lord, to come and together in this house, in this location that we get to worship and praise you, Lord. We just thank you for your presence coming in. Lord, I just ask you that you help your spirit come through and your words come through, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen. It is my turn to preach, right?
Pardon?
It's my turn to preach?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, me and Mitch had a little confusion earlier, and we had different names at different dates, but that's okay. So it's my turn today. Oh. So I want to speak about something that God put in my heart that I've been... This is very important to me. It's our identity, who we are. It's very important. That is very important. Like, in my walk with Christ, knowing who I am has been so important. And I want to share some stuff with you guys, and hopefully, you guys will catch on. But knowing who we are is so important. It's so important to God. And it's important to God to realize who we are. I know I said that backwards, but it carries meaning. We need to realize who we are with God. And everyone, Christians, non-Christians, have this question sometime in their life. Why am I here? Why am I here? Am I here by accident? Am I here on purpose? Why am I here? And depending on the people around you, that question will either bring you closer or further from God. And a few years ago, I'm going to share one of my crossroads, I guess you could say. A few years ago, I was at this point where I did not know what to do. I did not know who I was. I did not know, I knew who I was, but like, what was my purpose, should I say? And this was still my teenage years when I was leaving high school, a little after high school. Some of you may know that I played soccer. I played soccer in high school pretty much my whole life before then. And I was very passionate about soccer. And then on my senior year, I had gotten invitations to go try out for college teams. And I went and tried out. They told me I made the team. They offered me a small scholarship and stuff like that. There was also some professional teams that were sending me invites to go try out for their under 20, I think it was their under 20 team. But it didn't feel right. I wanted to so bad, but it did not feel right. It did not feel like it was what I was supposed to do. And that was one of my hardest decisions that I ever had to make. And, you know, like how any of us would be if we see something that, like, oh, that's just out of reach. I was mad at God. And one day I finally told him, said in frustration. I don't know, like, if you guys ever had that moment where you just feel it so bad that you just basically shout it out, like, to no one, but, like, to God. But you just shout it out. And I was at that point, and I told him, and I said, I'm a soccer player, God. That's the only thing I know how to do right. And God probably should have, like, Holy Ghost slapped me right there. And I was expecting maybe some wrath. We know, you never, like, you know, those, you hear those stories about the wrathful God. But what I got was a subtle drop in my heart, like a word. That's the best way I could explain it. A word just dropped in my heart, and it was soft. And it says, "That's not who I made you to be. I made you to be a worshiper." That's what I got, and it set me on a path of worshiping. And then a few weeks later, leadership in this church actually gave a word to me from God, saying that I should give myself to music and worship. And so it's just kind of like confirmation. And all of us have something that God has called us to. But there's multiple things God has called us to. And, you know, I'm not going to say that I'm perfect now and I know my identity. Yeah, I have crises every once in a while. I'm sure all of you do every once in a while. But God is still working on me, reminding me who I am in him, who am I to him. And God works on us continuously because it's easy to get caught up on a title. It's easy to get caught up in one identity. If you think about it, if you read the Bible and you read through it and you study it, we're called to be many things, not just one thing. We're called to be servants, but we're also called to be leaders. We're children of God. We're also a royal priesthood. And you could keep going on and on and on. God has called us to be so many things. In the Bible, it calls us a bunch of things. But we're not supposed to get stuck on one identity of who we are. Because God has gave us multiple. That sounded weird. But God has given us multiple callings. I'm going to share. Who here knows who Michael Jordan is? Right? I'm talking about MJ, the basketball player. I'm going to read a little bio about Michael Jordan. All right. Michael Jeffrey Jordan, born February 17th, 1963, also known as MJ. He's an American former professional basketball player. He had 15 seasons in the National Basketball Association for the Chicago Bulls and the Washington Wizards. He has acclaimed Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time. Jordan was one of the most efficient marketed athletes for his generation and was considered instrumental in popularizing the NBA around the world. And I'm just going to read you a few things he won, right? He was a 6-time NBA champion, 6-time NBA Finals MVP, 5-time NBA Most Valuable Player, 14-time NBA All-Star, 3-time NBA All-Star Game MVP, 10-time All-NBA First Team, All-NBA Second Team. He was the NBA Defensive Player of the Year, 9-time All-Defensive First Team, NBA Rookie of the Year, 10 NBA Scoring Champion, 3 NBA Steal Leaders, 2 NBA Slam Dunk Competitions Champion, and 3-time Athlete of the Year for Sports Illustrated. That's a lot of things that he was. But you know what? If somebody who does not know anything about basketball sees Michael Jordan, well, they might know him, but you know what they might say? It's the guy from Space Jam. That's a movie, if you guys don't know. It's where the Looney Tunes play basketball against. If you guys didn't know him, MJ saves the Looney Tunes. It's a great movie. But if you don't know, one aspect, if you got caught up in that image of Michael Jordan as a Space Jam, in Space Jam, you won't see him as the champion that he was in basketball. Maybe vice versa. If you see him as the champion, you won't see him as the Space Jam actor. I'm currently taking a course from Bethel Music, and it's called Worship U. It's like Worship University. And one of the speakers, his name's Pat, he said something, and it's been ringing in my head ever since I've heard it. He quoted Exodus 20, verse 4. This is the Ten Commandments. Well, one of the Ten Commandments is not the. It's one of the Ten Commandments. It's you shall not make yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth below, or that is in the water under the earth. Do not make a carved image. All right, we automatically think don't make an idol, right? And yeah, that's true. But there's more to it, though. It says, the way that it's worded, it's very interesting. Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth below, or in the water under the earth. Any likeness that is in heaven, does that include God? And he says that we are not supposed to make an image of God. Because when you make an image of somebody, when you take one thing that person is, that's what that person is, period. Like first impressions. You know, growing up, I heard, coming from a Catholic background, growing up, I heard that God was basically just the person who made sure you didn't do anything wrong. It's basically the boogeyman who was going to hit you if you did something bad. And that took a lot to get that image out of my head. An example, let's talk about Thomas in the Bible. When I say Thomas, what do you guys think? Doubting Thomas. All right, let's go ahead and read that passage, right? John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. One of the 12, this is after the resurrection, where Jesus, you guys know this story. Yeah, you know, guys know what's going on. One of the 12 wasn't present when Jesus appeared to them. It was Thomas, whose nickname was the twin. So the disciples informed him that we had seen the Lord with our own eyes. Still unconvinced, Thomas replied, "There's no way that I'm going to believe unless I personally see the wounds of the nails in his hands, touch them with my finger, and put my hand into the wound of his side where he was pierced." 8 days later, Thomas and all the others were in the house together. And even though all the doors were locked, Jesus suddenly stood before them. "Peace to you," he said. Then looking into Thomas's eyes, he said, "Put your finger here in the wounds of my hand. Here, put your hand in my wounded side and see for yourself, Thomas. Don't you give in to your doubts any longer. Just believe." Then the word spilled out of his heart, "You are my Lord, you are my God." Jesus responded, "Thomas, now that you've seen me, you believe. But there are those who have never seen me with their eyes, but have believed in me with their hearts, and they will be blessed even more." So this is the original, I did it one time, and I'm known for all eternity. Thomas doubted one time, and he get what he get. We're still talking about doubting Thomas. It's the image. We can't get that image of doubting Thomas out of our head. But what if, you know, what if we had remembered this? Thomas, the one who spilled out his heart on Jesus and said, "You are my Lord. You are my God." But no, we get stuck on that one image of Thomas. And I think that scripture, that don't make a carved image, I think God did want to talk about himself. Because God didn't want us to see just one part of him. Because if we focus on that one part, we won't recognize when he moves a different way. You know, and that the image that the Israelites would have made, it probably was going to be one of God setting them free, breaking their bondage, which is true. And very, very, very powerful. But that's not all God is. If they maybe would have created that image, they wouldn't see God for the other things that he did for them, like provider. You know who did create an image of God, and then once he showed up, they didn't recognize him? The Pharisees. They had an image in their head what Jesus was going to look like. And when Jesus showed up, they were so stuck in their ways that they did not recognize Jesus. God is so, so, so much more than we've already seen. And we can't put him in the box. We can't put him just in the box of healer because, yes, he's a healer, but he's so much more. He's our Savior, but he's so much more. Doesn't want us to just see him in one aspect. He wants so much more. God does so many unexplainable things. I finally found the perfect scripture that describes him. Psalms 115:3. But our God in heaven, he does whatever he pleases. God does whatever he wants. God does whatever he wants. One day he might want to heal, and that's great, and we're ready. One day he might want to make gold dust fall down, and guess what? We're ready. We want that. One day he might make smoke cover the room. Guess what? We want that. We'll be ready. He does what he wants. All those things have happened before. And if anybody ever tries to tell you that, God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. Just point him to the scripture. God does what he wants. Yeah. We cannot get stuck on just focusing on God on one thing. I want to get that. That's my main point. We cannot just focus on just God the one. Because he said that he's the great I am. But the great of I am of everything. And just like us, we have jobs. Like some of us might be teachers, but guess what? We're so much more. Some of us might be nurses, but guess what? You're so much more. You might work at Walmart, but guess what? You're so much more than just Walmart associates. You're so much more than what your job title says. And you shouldn't be caught up in your job title. There's so much more that God has called you to be. You have a title. You have a calling in the kingdom of God. And that's what you should be excited about. Don't let confusion, shame, chaos mask who you are in Christ. Your identity is not your job. Your identity is in the kingdom. Confusion and chaos will lead you to putting your ID, who you are, in your job. A few months ago, I had a moment of weakness. And I started pursuing a job title over more than I did the kingdom. And I started working really hard, putting like everything I am into this job. And I became director of the job, the said job. And I think God made it possible so he could realize that that's not who you are. Once I got that job, I was like, oh my gosh, I hate this so much. I was pursuing it so much, so hard, and that I got it, and I did not like it at all. And I think I got kind of like, you know, like when you like a parent letting a child do something wrong so they could learn. I feel like it was that. And like, because it had to be God, because it was my boss who left, and he recommended me for the director position. And out of nowhere, he came back. So I truly think that was God. And I think all of us should do your job. Do your job to the best of your ability. But don't let it consume you that you're not able to do the kingdom work. Because I truly believe with all my heart that I would not have this job that I have right now without God. God made it possible, and I feel maybe some of you might feel the same way, that it was a God job, that you got the job. But something that we gotta learn, that we gotta put in position, that we cannot put the blessing in front of God. The job's the blessing, but you cannot put the blessing in front of God. You cannot worship the blessing. You don't worship God. We all have a place in the kingdom. And I know this for sure, that every single one of you guys has a place in the kingdom. Why? Because the Bible says so. First of all, you are all children of God. So that makes you heir of the kingdom of God. Heirs of the kingdom of God. Romans 8, verses 14 through 17. For all who are led by the Spirit are God, and who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness to our God's to our spirit, that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So this is pretty simple. If you follow God, if you are led by the Spirit, you're a child of God. That's automatically right there. You have a place in the kingdom. But there's more. There's more. I feel like that's the title, but there's more. I feel like I said that a lot. Jeremiah 29. This is everywhere. It might be on a pillow at Walmart. We see this. I could literally just scroll through my Instagram or Facebook, and this scripture is going to pop out somewhere. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans of welfare and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the places where... It didn't change, huh? Now I will bring you back to the places where I've sent you to exile. I went a couple of scriptures too far. Right here it says, he has plans for us. He has plans for every single one of us. You know what? No, let me rephrase that. He has plans for certain people. Of welfare, of peace, and a future. But who? The ones who seek after him. The ones who seek after him, God has a plan for them. The ones who seek him with all their heart, he has a plan for them. You know, like a lot of times we see these scriptures that sound great, but we need to read a few more scriptures afterwards to realize how to get that blessing. Seek with all your heart and you will find the plans that God has for you. Romans 8, verse 28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. How are you called to his purpose? By seeking after him. Pursuing God. In worship, in praise, in prayer. Diving into his, going into his word, reading his word, studying his word. This parable, I'm going to go over real quick, is one of my favorite parables. Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. I always think it's kind of funny that Jesus spoke in parables. Like, I bet some people are like, just tell us what you mean. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding, feast for his son. And he sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared them my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business. Talking about jobs taking over kingdom business, right? Jobs getting in the way? Interesting. While the rest seized his servants and treated them shamefully and killed them. And the king was angry and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned the city. I feel like that was a little exaggeration, but Okay. The king does what he wants. Then he said to the servants, the wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find. And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw that there was a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to them, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. So we just read right now in Romans 8:28 that those who are called according to his purpose, all things work together for their good, right? So how do you know if you're called? How do you know if you're called or if you're chosen? My favorite way to do this is by using an example to explain this. Oh, I miss Ivan. I would use him as an example. Okay, I would say, just background, I hate moving furniture. I think it's the reason that God, Jesus, would always say, leave all your stuff behind. I don't think he liked it either. If I would say, I need help moving tomorrow, who's going to help me? Yeah. All right, so I'm going to choose you. Right? I'm going to choose the ones who said, yes, I'll help you. The same way with God. He sent out a call. He sent out an invitation. He sent out. He called a bunch of people. But you know which ones he's going to choose? The ones who said yes. And that's how you know that you have a purpose. That's how you know. That's how you start on your progression to find your purpose, is by first saying yes to God. Once you said yes to God, it's a very simple next step. Is get closer to God. Press in deeper. Seek him with all your heart. Go after him with all your heart. And then that's when he will reveal the plans he has for you. Or if he doesn't reveal the plans, he'll set you on the right steps towards the plans he has for you. In God's presence is where we find where we belong. That's the only place that you will ever find the true place that you belong, is in the presence of God. All right, let's go ahead and stand up. I want you guys to stand up right now. We're going to pray. I just feel... I'm going to open this up to anybody who has never said yes to God at this moment. Has never said yes to God in their life, or maybe has said, maybe. This is the moment that you have to say yes to God. And I'm going to be praying right now. And if you feel that in your heart, just go ahead and raise up your hand and say to God, yes, God, I will do what you want. Yes, God, I give myself to you. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity you've given us, Lord. We just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your calling on our lives, Lord. We thank you that you come and gather us and keep us safe, that you have a plan for us, Lord. We thank you that you have a future for us, that you have a future of goodness, not of evil, of peace, Lord. And I just thank you that every single one that's here, that's wanting more of you, will get more of you, Lord. Anybody who's willing to say yes is willing to go to the next step, Lord. I just thank you for all those people who are just saying yes right now, Lord. That they are willing to go after you, Lord. And those who have already said yes, Lord, help those who have already said yes to go and press on and seek you with all their heart, Lord, and seek after you. Lord, I just thank you that you will start revealing plans you have for us, plans you have for every one of us, Lord. I feel God is saying right now that age does not matter in the kingdom of God. Age does not matter. It doesn't matter if you're 2 years old or 99. Age does not matter. He can still have a future plan for you. Even if you're older, he still has plans for you. Don't think that just because you're older that you've missed your opportunity. No, you still have that opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for everything you've done, Lord. And we just thank you that you will continue to build us up. So you will continue to reveal your plans and your progress to us, Lord. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.